You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, what a great first hour with Courtney. It's always great to have Courtney back on. You know, she's been supporting this show since day one. I know we've known her for well over 10 years. And, of course, this is now our 15th year. She's just always been there. I don't even know how we first met or when we first met, but she's just always been omnipresent.
Loyal and faithful for the long haul.
I was talking with her about that a couple of days ago in advance of her appearance tonight, about just how so many years have gone by, and then, you know, there's been a lot of constants, and, you know, she's been one of them. And anyway, I really enjoyed that hour. Always good talking to her. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about this hour, so it's just going to be me and Keith this hour. In the third hour, we've got Jared Taylor and then Jack Ryan. You know, Jack Ryan segments have become our
comic relief.
Yeah, it's a completely unscripted and impromptu comedy improv, but we'll see what we get into tonight with Jack. But it is fun to have a little bit of comic relief, and we're not trying to do that. It just sort of happens. We just have a good time, and it's good to have a laugh. So we'll see what Jack has in store at the end of the show tonight. But first, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, why don't you? I engaged in a freewheeling conversation with Paul Fromm and Bill Johnson a few days ago, and we got the video of that up at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. And we talked about multiculturalism, tribal warfare, open borders, and much more. So check that out if you like to process your information via video. Also, received quite a few positive emails and letters this week from TPC listeners who have received their shirts from Dixie Republic, our Confederate History Month shirts. They are there and should be delivered to you by now. Thanks to Scott at Dixie Republic for taking care of everyone and handling the distribution of those. And I understand he even added in a few goodies, a few stickers in each order. So that's fantastic. Folks, next week kicks off our second quarter fundraising drive. Now, you know, the quarterly fundraising drives are our life's blood here on TPC. We have got, I know it seems like I say this, I mean, we do go to great lengths to always make the incentive offer something interesting and something that you would want. We've got something, we'll tell you next week, but we've got something that you're going to want.
It's in the works.
Yeah. It's already ready. And in fact, it's already being shipped. We've already got it ordered. We've already got them all ordered. They're already on their way. So stay tuned for that. And be sure to support our second quarter fundraising drive during the month of June. Now, Keith and I have a lot to talk about this hour, including but not limited to the radical egalitarian experiment that is turning military submarines into love boats, and the Washington Post reaction to what goes on these love boats, and other interesting news headlines and current events. We're going to unpack them all with great care and urgency here in this second hour. But before we do any of that, Keith played host to a visiting guest this week at his home, that medieval manor, that medieval keep that Keith lives in Midtown Memphis. And tell us who he was, how he came to stay with you for a week, just the whole story, what y'all did, so on and so forth.
His name is Jean Lamprecht. He is a South African who came to South Africa by way of Rhodesia. He was originally a Rhodesian.
Well, how did he get to your house, though? I mean, who put you in touch?
Sonny Thomas put us in touch. He suggested that I contact him and see about having him on the show. We couldn't work it out for the
now,
show.
Now, Sonny,
this week.
Sonny runs just a point of what's the point of
interest? No, point of information.
There you go, point of information. Sonny Thomas runs an internet radio network, Resolution Radio, that also replays TPC. So that's how we know Sonny.
Well, I got in touch with Jan. I don't want to call him out of his name, but you know, the Dutch pronunciation doesn't come easily to my lips. But anyway,
well, Jan was up doing a little speaking tour, and he had a few days to burn before he headed back to Africa, and he wanted to spend it in Memphis. And so that
he got in touch with me. I got in touch with him. I invited him up here for the week. He accepted, We had a great time. He knows more about Memphis now than anyone else in South Africa. He is South Africa's resident expert in Memphis. He's gone all over the place. We talked about comparison and contrast between the United States and Memphis versus what's happening in South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of this.
I'm sure there were a lot of similarities between Memphis and South Africa.
But, you know, the thing that was remarkable, he has more faith in the ability of the Afrikaners to regain a position of strength and power there than I really have with for confidence for the white people of the United States of America. I said that, and you have less than 10% white in your nation, and we have 60% white in our nation, but nonetheless, even though we're the majority, our nation has been hijacked right out from under us, and you know, it's remarkable that I don't think he's just a cockeyed optimist. I think that his you know, optimism has a foundation. He is a scholar. He has he put on a 2.5-hour slideshow about the various black white revolutions, wars, and whatnot.
You actually had a private showing to this to this.
Yeah, me and one other person from here saw it, and he went through the whole thing. I know more about Namibia, Mozambique, Angola, and all these civil wars.
It was
wars.
An exchange, a trade of information. Right. You told him about Memphis. He told you about Namibia.
Yeah, right. So we learned through all of this. He showed me the weapon systems. He showed me everything that they came up with, how the wars were fought, who the principal parties were. It was really it was very educational.
Well, I'll tell you, it's always interesting when people come through Memphis or have a chance to come through Memphis. They like to meet with us, and Keith is a social animal. Keith is moonlights as a tour guide, not officially. Yeah, he should. He gives the best tour. He gives the tour of Memphis that the tour groups won't give you, and he tells you how Memphis went from a first world city to what it is today. And he takes you and. You know, we did that tour with Philip de Winter, who is a member of the European Parliament, and Philip was in town, and we took him and his
friend Anna von der Merch.
Yes, we took them on the tour. Who was it that locked the door on your tour? When we were going through one of the ghettos, somebody locked the door.
I'm trying to remember, probably all of them.
We've given the tour to so many.
I tell you, Tom Sunick. Yeah, Tom Sunick got Sunick? Real antsy. Tom Sunick was down on his knees begging me to get out of that neighborhood.
In any event. But it wasn't all business. I know. Now, I was very busy last week, but I did have a chance to meet with Jan and Keith for lunch on Friday. We got together at my favorite restaurant in Memphis. And we had a lunch right before Jan had to go to the airport and make the trek back to Africa. But it wasn't all business. Y'all did have a little downtime, and I'm here to tell you that Keith, as he does with anyone who visits Memphis, Keith presented Tammy and the Bachelor to Jan on VHS.
And Shane.
And Shane and the Little Rascals and Amos and Andy.
And Darby O'Gill and the Little People. So we saw all
How
sorts
many
of
movies did y'all watch, man?
Well, we just saw excerpts of Darby O'Gill and a few excerpts. You know, we didn't go through the whole library of Little Rascals.
You said he cried during Shane.
Yes.
A tear, or at least...
Probably because I wouldn't let him go to the bathroom.
All right. We got to get back to work when we come back. But anyway, it's great to meet with somebody from South Africa. And Keith had a good time. I had a good time at lunch, but Keith... playing host for a week with Jan Lamprecht. We'll be back to get to the news next.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Sensors are at work.
I think it might just be my mic. Let me see that one. I think I was having a microphone malfunction there. So it was my mic. It was not anything other than my mic. So interesting. Well, we'll see where the short goes. There it is. Okay. Well, anyway, sorry about that. It is live radio after all. Don't forget, Jerry Taylor is forthcoming still in the third hour, and we will have some laughs with Jack Ryan as well. But first, let's get down to some news. So I saw a big story in the Washington Post this week, and the Washington Post was printing its lamentations over the fact that, well, first of all, let me just say this. So you know that there's this radical egalitarian experiment going on in the American military. Another reason why I fall back on my position on the flag and this government and anything to do with this godforsaken country now. But, you know, women soldiers. Now, that's a joke.
Well, what about transgender?
Yeah, transgender soldiers is a bigger joke. But in any event, so the Washington Post published this expose that sailors on a submarine, male sailors, were ranking the female sailors based on according to their looks. Okay, so you've got male sailors and then you've got
women pretending to be sailors, and it came out after an investigation that some of the male sailors were ranking the women based on their physical appearance. And they were talking about how bad this is, and you know, well, you can imagine what they were writing. And to that I say, this is what happens when you turn a submarine into a love boat. The real problem here isn't that men rank women according to looks. Boys will be boys, after all. But rather that the government has turned the military into this ridiculous egalitarian experiment to begin with. Now, as one of my Twitter followers mentioned, he's been ranking women according to looks since he was in fourth grade, haven't we all? But, you know, I can remember even talking about returning to TV in the near future. I remember filming a TV show that I was on some years ago. It was filming in Nashville, and while we were taping my part, this I don't know what you would call it, this unit of soldiers, it was about 20 soldiers. Well, I you can call them soldiers if you so choose, but it looked like the United Nations, and at least half, if not the majority of them, were women, and they were in their fatigues, and they were walking around in their uniforms. It's just a joke.
Well, just think about this. In addition to this article that you saw about the Love Boat Submarine Corps, what about Vice President Mike Pence at the West Point graduation congratulating the U.S. Army for having the highest number or percentage of black female cadets graduating from West Point? You know, this is crazy stuff. Whatever is going on, it's, I'm sure that the Russians and the communist Chinese just cannot wait to engage us in war after seeing this, seeing how we have adulterated our military. They will go through us like a hot knife through butter as long as they keep these crazy unisex experiments going on the way that they have been over the past 20 years. I remember they had this guy in the U.S. Naval Academy named Admiral Gary Roughhead. And he was the big proponent of this unisex military. And basically, Annapolis was even ahead of West Point on it. So, you know, what is this doing to our military preparedness? Maybe there's a reason why we haven't won a war since Korea. You know, didn't even win Korea. We had a truce and a stalemate. And it's, you know, I'm sick and tired. Our military is not a military anymore. It's a global police force. We are the police force for the UN, basically.
Well, let's talk about this, Keith. There is something really weird on my mixer right now and on my board here on the local studio. So my microphone levels are showing up on your scale. I don't know what's going on, but Sam can tell me if we're not, if something's a matter here. I don't know what's going on. The ADL is the foot again, but anyway, speaking of wars very quickly, we're talking about, what kind of army is this? This is no army. This is a joke. This is a social experiment. This isn't serious, but
They're trying to make reality like the Black Avenger
just
or whatnot.
A quick side issue. Name each of the wars, in your opinion, that America was justified in fighting going back to the Revolutionary War. Which ones should have been fought?
U.S. government?
The United States Army. Which wars warranted? Now, we're not going to count the war between the states. That was justified on the side of the South, of course. So we know that we're not going to count that one on behalf of the Union. But what wars should America have been engaged in from the founding of the Republic through the current year? And whichever one you don't mention, we know that that's one that you don't think that they should have been involved in. But go.
American Revolution and possibly, with a question mark by the side, the War of 1812.
That's it.
That's it.
I agree. Of course, I agree.
The Indian Wars, too, if they were really wars, they were just basically police actions themselves as well. But, you know, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War One, World War Two, Korea,
Iraq,
all of that, all bad.
I just had something. With regard to the story about the submarine here, one of our listeners just wrote, thank God they didn't have this problem on the Hunley. No, they didn't. Okay, well, if you thought that was bad, though, and it is, and it was, but just the
the godless media, though, acting like this is the scandal. The scandal to them is that men rank women according to looks, not that there's women pretending to be soldiers on a United States
submarine. Well, apparently the problem is that men are daring to be heterosexual. You know, that is what the real problem is as far as they're concerned. They want unisex and everybody to basically be primarily attracted to their own sex. This is a crazy world. I can't imagine our founding fathers even being able to envision such a world. And they probably would have given up on the entire experiment if they knew how it was going to wind up.
I wonder if they, you know, I have thought about that. If Washington and Jefferson, et al. Could have looked into the crystal ball, yeah, all of them, and seen what their descendants would have done with the sacrifice. I mean, why would they trouble themselves? Just live, you know. Just
there just couldn't be, it beggars belief, and certainly would beggar their belief. They could never have imagined anything this fantastic happening by a serious government in charge of a world power. You know, they would think that the world had gone mad. The world turned upside down is what Cornwallis's band played at Yorktown. And boy, that you talk about oppression, that was it. The world has been turned upside down in America.
What would Cornwallis think about America and England in this day and age?
He would have probably renounced his citizenship in both. And
well, that's the only thing I can say about fighting the Revolutionary War. If we had remained under British rule, we would just be about 50 years further down the descent.
Well, Theresa May finally gave up the ghost.
Yeah, we could talk about that in a second, too. Okay, when we come back, we've got a more absurd story than the one about the submarine. And believe me, it's a lot more absurd. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More tornadoes are threatening the nation's midsection. WBBM meteorologist Ted Curran.
As we go into places like Kansas and Oklahoma and into Texas, and it's in this area that we have the biggest concern for tornado activity as we go through the day for today. We're also concerned about flooding as these rains have been coming through the same areas over and over again.
President Trump has begun a state visit to Japan. He's there to work out a trade imbalance between the two countries. He jokingly tells business leaders at a reception in Tokyo, maybe that's why you like me so much.
The relationship with Japan and the United States, I can say for a fact, has never been stronger. It's never been more powerful, never been closer.
He also says there's never been a better time to invest in the United States. This is USA Radio News.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America one life at a time.
I wish they would have me do a commercial. I'm from the New York area, and we don't trust anybody. And I need to tell you, I certainly didn't trust you guys at first. After all, you're like out of Utah. I was like, what is in Utah, really? Then I heard some little old man saying, fruits and veggies, and da-da-da-da. And I was so, you know, when you're in pain, you will try anything. And I said, let me try it. But I need to tell you that I'm jogging now. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again.
Through Memorial Day weekend, you can receive a $20 discount and free shipping on any first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Again, this special radio offer will only be available through May 27th. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A GOP congressman has blocked a massive disaster aid bill that would have sent $19 billion to hurricane, flood, and wildfire victims. With more on this story, here's USA Radio Network's Rick Vincent.
Texas Congressman Chip Roy says the bill should have included President Trump's requested funding for aid to the southern border.
There's no reason this disaster supplemental should not have included the quite modest $4.4 billion that director of OMB Vote, sent to Capitol Hill to ensure DHS and HHS do not run out of money while managing the over 100,000 illegal aliens crossing our border.
In a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Nebraska GOP Senator Deb Fischer called on House leadership to reconvene immediately and call up a vote on the disaster relief bill. Senator Fischer worked to include flood-ravaged Nebraska in that bill, which passed the Senate with strong bipartisan support. For USA Radio News in Omaha, I'm Rick Vincent.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay. You know, the comment that our friend made a moment ago about they didn't have to worry about this on the Hundley, this men and women sharing the quarters. There's something actually a little more profound to that than what meets the eye. And what it is those men, those righteous men, those righteous Southerners would have never dreamed of putting a woman in that position. What kind of a degenerate, disgusting nation would send women to fight wars? You know, the people whose wombs bring forth life, you send them to fight wars as if they're men. I mean, that is sicko.
That is a nation that is going to go extinct.
That is a nation in very serious decline. And here is the other article I was alluding to a moment ago. This was all over every network late in the week. I believe it was on Thursday. Keith, very quickly, tell the folks. Keith's eating tacos now. He's eating a Wendy's combo, a burger and fries. Now he's eating a couple of tacos.
I can tell you what James is drinking, but I can't do that.
But, Keith, very quickly, if anybody needs to know, and I put down a couple of those tacos during the commercial break.
You eat faster than I do.
Let's be frank. But tell the folks what West Point is, if they need to remind.
West Point is the U.S. Military Academy. It is the American equivalent of Sandhurst in England. It is where all of the mainline officers go to if you basically are, if you're marked for greatness, you go to West Point if you're in the U.S. Army. You go to Annapolis if you're in the U.S. Navy or the Marine Corps. You go to the Coast Guard Academy if you're in the Coast Guard, and you go to the Air Force Academy if you're in the Air Force. Those are the primary military academies in America, and the oldest and supposedly the most venerable of them all is West Point.
And who is the greatest graduate of West Point?
Robert E. Lee.
Of course.
Number two in his class in 1829, the only person ever to graduate from West Point in its entire history who got out without earning a single demerit.
All right, so they go from graduating men like Robert E. Lee to this. And this was in all of the news. All of the outlets were covering this. The headline reads, West Point to graduate record number of black female cadets. The class of cadets preparing to toss their caps in the air at the U.S. Military Academy's graduation ceremony on Saturday, that is today, includes a record number of black females. And Keith, of course, that's utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. It's silly. And the comments that came in on this one were absolutely killer. One reads, not one of these women will be in Delta, Rangers, Airborne, or even Infantry. The Army is going to have plenty of new bodies to populate supply and administration.
And supply and administration will go down. Remember, Forrest was particularly complimentary during the Civil War of the U.S. Army's Quartermaster Corps because they provided him with every need that he could possibly imagine. Now, he would have been totally sabotaged if this group had gotten into the Quartermaster Corps.
Another comment reads, there's a new movie coming out, Hidden Generals, and how they were responsible for winning World War II.
That's exactly. See, this is life imitating art rather than art imitating life. We have movies like Hidden Figures. We have movies like The Black Avenger, movies like Wonder Woman. And here they're trying to make reality, imitate the so-called art that they have created out of their fertile imaginations about these, you know, warrior women, these Amazonian women that they have kind of willed into being. Now they're in the Army. But like you said, I'm waiting for the Delta Force group.
One person writes, I saw them doing combat drills at Chuck E. Cheese. these are two interesting comments as well. It's ridiculous, but it's more than that. It's sad. It's such a storied institution. It used to mean something to go there. And it said now the government is mandating that they enroll and graduate a set amount of minorities so they can get this very headline. And that's true, of course. And then
when are all the real officers in the U.S. military going to say, I'm finally had it? You know, I can no longer put up this with this charade and pretend that this is, you know, the army that I entered into or the army of our fathers and grandfathers. It's not. And there's a good reason why we don't win wars anymore, folks. You know, this is part and parcel of it.
This is the most serious comment that I read. I describe it as an abomination, but it goes beyond abomination. I'd say farce, but farces normally don't have consequences, and this will. So, best thing to say, West Point has outlived its usefulness, and it's time to shut it down. So this is where we're at.
Well, it's because we've allowed the one-worlders, globalists, to co-opt our military and turn it into the police force for one-world government worldwide. You know, the police don't try to wipe out a crime-ridden neighborhood. They try to police it. Well, that's what we do. We don't want to win any wars anymore, particularly ones against non-white nations. So we don't fight nations. We fight. We're basically a police force, and the police uniform needs to have a bullseye stenciled on the front and the back of it, so make it easy for our enemies to shoot our soldiers who are not allowed to shoot unless they are fired upon first.
Well, I would just like to know, do they do drills at West Point? Do they do any sort of physical training? Because I'm looking at a picture of this group of black female cadets who are graduating, and more than
Don't look particularly fit.
They're very overweight, and I guess we all put on a little weight as we age, but not when you're, 22? I mean, they got to be
22 and supposedly been going through rigorous physical training. You know, that slims everybody down, or else it culls them out of the herd, and apparently neither of those things has happened with this new subset of the military corpsmen at West Point.
But I want, you know, to be very, very frank, I'm not saying there might not be one out of a million that could do something, but if you put a bunch of women on the front line, what's going to happen?
It's just going to, you know, what's going to happen is that they will get themselves, because of their vulnerability, into a jam, and men with their normal noble instincts will put themselves in harm's way trying to protect these people. And it's going to result in more casualties. It's going to result in lost battles. It's just you cannot, you know, the sexes are not interchangeable. Human beings aren't soybeans.
And the whole you know, media, as always, speaking with one voice, is talking about how wonderful this is. No, it's not. I mean, it's just really, it's preposterous. The emperor has no clothes. And I'll tell you another thing. If it wasn't, you know, there's always something else, though. So they were talking about how all of these black female cadets are graduating in record numbers from West Point, but the stories went on to read about how much racism they faced along the way at West Point, how they had to overcome the institutionalized racism at West Point. So not even West Point can get credit for playing along with this farce. Half the story was dedicated to just how bad of an experience it was for them and how they had to overcome it.
Well, the bad experience was like trying to do the physical tests that you're supposed to do in order to be a – and that's apparently racist when you try to hold these cadets to the same standards that cadets have been held to for time in memoriam.
So there you have it. That's your American military on Memorial Day weekend. So I thought that these two stories would be particularly appropriate.
Well, I think the Russian army and the Chinese communists – are watching this with great interest, and they quite frankly can't wait for when the balloon goes up.
I just, you know, it would be one thing, though. The only thing about that is, I don't, you know, a ground war, you know, that's a thing of the past. It's just going to be a bunch of people pushing a button on nuclear bombs if it ever gets to that point, so I don't know what you do with that. At least we live in the Mid-South.
Let's just go for the coast. What's the Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times. We certainly live in interesting time, folks.
Okay. Well, I wonder what's going on at the – you know, at the Citadel probably isn't too far behind this now.
Or the Virginia Military Institute.
Yeah, Stonewall Jackson's.
They used to be the southern versions of West Point.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Well, I hope they're backward enough to still be
I've read some bad stuff coming out of the Citadel. I don't know what's going on at VMI. But
look, the problem is all these little careerists know that the way to succeed in business or in the military or anywhere without really trying is to be the most liberal son of a gun on the...
Wait, but you're right, though. There's not one ranking officer in the military, not a general, not an admiral, not anybody. There might not even be a private that says, you know what, this is a joke.
You know, where is the courage? If you don't have the courage to call out BS on something like this, how are you going to have the courage under fire that you need to have? You know, courage.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point. They're more afraid of being politically incorrect than they are to die. That's where we're at. We'll be right back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Welcome back to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, well, you mentioned it just a moment ago, Keith, so let's dig into it just a bit. Theresa May resigned this week as the British Prime Minister, and that's another joke. I mean, a female
Theresa May was trying to coerce English people into basically undoing Brexit or continuing to pay as if they were still a member of the European Union to the globalist powers that be that head up the European Union. And the British people said, read our lips, Theresa. We want out. We want out not just legally. We want to be out practically and for all purposes. She was unwilling to do that. She'd be breaking faith with her paymasters. So consequently, she's resigning now so that she can continue to draw her pension from the EU or whatever, or continue to be invited to all the right cocktail parties.
Well, you hadn't read what I'm about to read, and it is an email that I received from one of our listeners in London, and this guy is just a fascinating guy. I love this guy who sent this in.
He's our man in Havana, only Havana is London now.
That's right, that's right. He's got London clocked. And
Understand.
He wrote me this email this week, and I said, I'm gonna share that, because it was the best take I've read on the Theresa May thing. It was just a short email, but this is what it read. The hateful, duplicitous Baron Theresa May resigned. In her resignation speech, he wrote that she droned on about all sorts of politically incorrect nonsense and even found a way to work in a reference to the Holocaust in her resignation speech. But the cherry on the cake was...
The Holocaust is her career.
Was when the crocodile tears came at the end. And this listener in London wrote that she was the single most incompetent politician he ever had to suffer under, and that she quit, he said. This is a man who lives and works in London. She quit only because her handlers told her that she had done all she could do to scupper Brexit, and now they're going to put another traitor into number 10. Now she will become Dame Theresa May, will make a fortune sitting on many no-show boards and commissions. Her hideous nose will be deeply in the trough.
Yep, I tell you what, treason pays, apparently, and that she's, I like Sir John Harrington's famous comment, the courtier under Queen Elizabeth, inventor of the flush toilet, but also well-known for this particular gem. He says, treason never prospers. What's the reason? For when it prospers, none dare call it treason. Well, Theresa May is a traitor to the English people, to the English nation, and to the position that she held. But nonetheless, she has prospered. She's prospered because she's been doing the bidding of the people that aren't supposed to be in charge, but actually are in charge of her country and ours.
Brad Griffin chimes in on this by writing, the UK has been governed by a childless old maid for the past several years who has been destroying the country, but we can now say good riddance once and for all to one of the worst prime ministers in British history.
Well, as I said in The Wizard of Oz, ding dong, the witch is dead.
May have been the title of his article, but he wrote that he knew that Theresa May was going to be a disaster when she spent her time as Home Secretary banning harmless Americans from traveling to Britain to attend conferences while throwing out the welcome mat for countless jihadists. There came a point when Brad writes he just gave up counting the number of terrorist attacks under May after one of them started in the jihadis next door. Conservatism, he concludes, has been a global disaster for our people. But he does ask an interesting question. We were talking about, we always like to do rankings here, and this isn't our bailiwick. We're not Britons, but who would you say would be the worst British prime minister of all time? I mean, there's a lot of competition. Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, David Cameron, they all presided over the current immigration disaster. But would you say somebody like Tony Blair, Theresa May, or Winston Churchill?
Winston Churchill did this, okay? He got England involved in two wars in which they did not have to get involved in, World Wars One and Two. And by getting them involved, he also got involved the entire Anglosphere to boost up the military might of England. He got Canada, the United States, New Zealand, Australia, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, all of these nations in the Anglosphere. He got them in, Australia, every soldier from the Anglosphere that was killed in either of those wars died needlessly because Winston Churchill couldn't bring himself mentally out of the afterglow of Waterloo, in which he wanted to preserve England's position in the world at that time. What he did, ironically, by involving his country in both of those wars needlessly, was reduce them to what he feared the most, England becoming a second-rate power. Because they were bled out by Winston Churchill.
That's right. Well, yeah, I would agree on Churchill being the worst. That's actually one thing that our friend in London writes. May, you know, you're talking about most of the political cesspool listening audience. We do have listeners all over the world, but most of them would be obviously in the United States, the Confederate States, and in Great Britain and in Canada. And he writes, May, Macron, Trudeau, Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, Brown, Blair. This is it. This is the best we can do. A rhetorical question, of course. But all England is cheering the fact that Theresa May is gone. Now, let's shift gears.
You've got to be a traitor. That's the first and most essential qualification to be in high office in any European, Western European nation, and in England or in the United States or Canada. But you have to be a traitor to the people you're supposedly representing.
You know, Jared Taylor is going to be coming up at the top of the next hour for a couple of segments. And before he comes on, let's preface his appearance by covering some of the news reports that came out after the AMRIN conference. Now, last weekend, we spent a little time on the phone with Lana Lochtiff after we finally got a transmission through the Montgomery Bell defense for what would you call it? Their defenses.
The Iron Curtain.
This was the Fox News affiliate. Now, this one blew me away.
This is supposedly the conservative alternative that we have to rely on in the mainstream for our news.
This was the Fox News affiliate reporting on Saturday night, Sunday morning. And the headline reads, "Multiple arrests made during Unite the Right rally at Montgomery Bell Park." So now this is a major network affiliate. Fox News called last weekend's American Renaissance Conference the Unite the Right rally in its coverage. So
I'm glad they did, actually, because now we've won. We're 1-1 in Unite the Right conference. Because we definitely won Montgomery Bell last weekend.
Local news is always amateur hour. I have not done a local news TV broadcast since 2006, and I don't think I ever will again.
That like to gaze at themselves in mirrors. That's who local news is.
I might do New York Times. I might do a network TV. We got one coming up. We've been talking about it, but local news is amateur hour. Could they really be that sloppy when it comes to reporting simple, basic facts? It was the American Renaissance Conference. It was not the Unite the Right rally. I mean, how could they be that bad?
Well, they're lying on purpose. They want you to think that there are all these Unite the Right rallies out there, but guess what? This one was won because the police force of Tennessee did what a police force is supposed to do, unlike the craven cowards and the turncoats that they had in the police force in Charlottesville, Virginia. And that's just putting as fine a point on it as I care to make. You know, the police in Charlottesville were derelict of their duties. In fact, they were doing it on purpose. They weren't just derelict. They were intentionally undermining the rule of law by the way that they handled that particular protest.
Well, so that's the conservative Fox News calling the American Renaissance Conference the Unite the Right rally and white supremacists this and that. Well, you know, conservatives are born to lose. A couple of weeks ago when I was back, you were out on this particular broadcast. We talked about these conservatives, these so-called conservative columnists. One was defending Prospector Pete, the mascot at University of California, Long Beach, saying, yeah, we need to keep Prospector Pete. He's not offensive. But I do agree with everybody who says that the Indians and the Redskins mascots and team names are offensive. And then there was the conservative so-called writer trying to defend the name of the George Washington University Colonials. He was saying the Colonial mascot isn't offensive, but George Washington was because he had catastrophic moral failures. That's your conservative resistance. Yeah,
he had catastrophic moral failures, but Martin Luther King was pure as
snow. Oh, yeah,
snow.
This guy would have never written anything about any alleged failings of Martin Luther King. Well, they weren't alleged in King's case, but he wouldn't have written about them one way or another. But that's your concern. You know, this is it. This is the conservative media. And then there's us.
We live in Wonderland. We live in an alternative universe now here in America, where Martin Luther King is a great paragon of moral excellence and George Washington is a low-down scumbag.
I tell you what, we've had a full course meal. I've never eaten like this during a show, but we've had hamburgers. We've had, if we're not talking, we're eating. I can tell you, and whichever one of us isn't talking, the other one's eating. And we just got some hot. My wife's been up at the studio tonight, and she just brought us some hot chocolate chip cookies.
Well, that's why you have a wife. Oh, well, one of the many reasons. But on the other hand, she may be fattening us up for the kill. I don't know.
We're going to roll out of the studio tonight. So we're going to let Keith eat for the next 30 minutes. We'll get Jared on. We'll bring Keith back when Jack makes his appearance tonight. Jack had a clip. I don't really know what it was about. We'll try to figure it out. I didn't send it in to Sam. I didn't understand it. I sent one in, and we'll let Jack clarify, and maybe we'll play it locally if I can find out exactly what part he wanted to play. But yeah, you just never know. You never know. You never know what you're going to get here. Well, you know what you're going to get here at TPC.
It's like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates.
Well, you know you're going to get. You know what you're going to get. We just don't know how the execution's going to go week to week with the. The way things are.
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, let's eat some of those chocolates out of these cookies real quick, and we'll be back with Jared Taylor. How about that?
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.